Okay, boys, today's daf is daf Kuf Beis. We might as well start from the Mishnah on Kuf Aleph Amid Beis, Mishnah towards the bottom, because that's the introduction to today's sugya. Everything today discusses landlord-tenant relationships and obligations. Says the Mishnah, Hamaskir Beis HaChaver, someone who rents a house to his chaver. Hamaskir chayiv b'delis v'neger uv'manul uv'choldover shemaisa uman. The landlord's requirement is he has to supply a delis, a door to the house, a neger means a bolt that goes from the bottom of the door into the floor. You have this even today when you have a large ballroom or a large shul and you have two large doors. What keeps the doors in place? You have such bolts that go down from the bottom of the door into the floor, into the threshold. Some have bolts on top as well. Anyway, so those bolts are also included by the landlord. Uba man is referring to a lock. Anything which is a mas uman means that you require a professional to be able to install it and maintain it. Something which is any amateur can put together, then a soicher is sale. Then the soicher is required to go and supply that. Then hazevushul balabayis, any zevel, that's manure that accumulates in the chotzer, that belongs to the landlord. The Gemara is going to discuss this shortly on the Amud Aleph, who is the chotzer and in whose rishus is the chotzer, meaning was the chotzer also rented out to the tenant or not. Gemara will discuss that shortly. The ein l'soicher ele yotzim anatanur umen hakirayim buvot. The only thing that the soicher can take for himself is the ash that comes from the tanur and kirayim. Tanur is a smaller oven, kirayim is a larger oven, a larger stove, that he can keep for himself. You're wondering, what do you do with ash? So Rashi says, ash is also one of the ingredients that you use for zevel, for putting together fertilizer that would fertilize a field. So the zevel of the animals, the tzoya, that belongs to the balabus. But the renter, he's allowed to go and keep the ash that comes from the stoves. Again, we'll see more about this in the Gemara. Okay, Zuti Martan Rabban says in the Braisa. Braisa now expands upon the first part of the Mishnah. Remember the Mishnah, we said that the maskir is chayiv delis neger manu b'choldova shemasa uman, masha einkein, the tenant is mechuyev in the things which are einem maisa uman. Zuti Martan Rabban says in the Braisa. Hamaskir bayis lechaveroi, person who rents out a house to his chaver. Maskir chayv lehamid lechulosois, he has to make sure it has doors. Kif aleph midbeis. Leftoich lechaloines, it has to have windows. Lechazik lechikra, if part of the ceiling is soft and he needs to go and strengthen it. Rashi says, for instance, im hisliu hanasorim, which means that the planks in the ceiling, unfortunately, they become wormy, and therefore they're no longer solid. Or lismach lekoira, one of the beams is shvach, so you have to go and support it. All these things the maskir has to supply. The soicher chayav lasis loy, and the soicher, that's the tenant, has to supply the following. Sulam, a ladder. That means that although when you rent a house, the whole house is included, and therefore also the roof, but nobody really intends the roof to be used on a regular basis. And so therefore, if the tenant wants to use the roof, gizim tahayt, but he's going to have to supply the ladder. Last is like maka. If, in fact, people go on the roof, he's going to have to put up the fence around the roof. Last is like marzev. He's going to have to put up a gutter or leader in case there's a big rainfall. He wants the rain to go down and not stay there on the roof, etc., not to cause a leak. Or letiach es gagoy. And in fact, if there is a problem with the roof, with a bit of a leak, then the tenant is expected to do this. We're talking about in a society where these were considered to be not a maisa uman, to go and fix the roof. Apparently, anybody with a little bit of sense, a little intelligence, knew how to take care of it. What about the mezuzah almi? What about mezuzah? Now, the Gemara assumes mezuzah means like we talk about a mezuzah. Frank Gemara, mezuzah, Amar Mishaarsha, mezuzah, Choyv Sadari. What's the shaila? Doesn't everybody know mezuzah is the choyv of the one that's living there? So, Bada, it's on the soicher. The question is, who has to supply the place for the mezuzah? What means the place for the mezuzah? So Rashi explains that, as many of you know, in Eretz Yisrael, even today, the placement of the mezuzahs is typically different than what we have in Chutz La'aretz. We in Chutz La'aretz typically put a mezuzah inside either a plastic case or a metal case, and then we affix it to the doorpost. In Eretz Yisrael, many, if not most, of the mezuzahs are not protruding from the outside, but rather they bore a hole into the doorpost and insert the mezuzah inside. Shlomo, am I correct?
It depends, particularly in the buildings, stone buildings, the older stone buildings. That's the case. You can't do much with them.
Very well. So I'm glad that you talked about the stone buildings. So Rashi's... I'm sorry? Okay, thank you. Dug out into the stone, into the doorpost itself. So Rashi says, what happens if the doorpost is made out of stone, as you say? The only ones that will be able to go and bore a hole will be people that are an uman, who knows how to go and chisel out the hole and drill a hole. So what is the soicher supposed to do? So that's what Rav Sheshis asks. So Rav Gemara, Omelu Rav Sheshis, start again. Mezuzah Choyv Sadori, Ella, two lines from the bottom, Ella Mokim Mezuzami. Who has to go and make the hole in the wall of the doorpost to be able to go and insert a mezuzah? Omelu Rav Sheshis, Tirisu, we learned, Dobe She'ein Maitse Uman, HaSoicher Oiseu. V'hai Nami Lav Maitse Uman Hu. This is also not a Maitse Uman. Really, it's not a Maitse Uman to go and bore a hole? Of course it's a Maitse Uman. You don't have to do it the Israeli way, where they go and bury it inside the doorpost. You can do it the American way, whether you put it into a plastic container or metal container or whatever, and you affix that to the outside of the doorpost. No, that anybody can do. You can go and buy in any good Judaica store a mezuzah together with the outside shachtel, that is the container that you put it in, and just make sure to either fix it with nails or you have the two-sided tape like people use today. The important thing is that anybody can do for that. You don't have to go and call a professional. Okay, Zoti Mara. Turn around. Hamaski Baiz Vachveda. Person who is renting a house to his chaver, then the renter is the one that has to supply, the tenant has to supply the mezuzah. When the tenant leaves, after a month or a year or whatever, he should not go and remove the mezuzahs, but he should leave the mezuzahs there for the next tenant. However, if the next tenant is going to be a goy, or for that matter, if the landlord is a goy, then he should go and take the mezuzahs, because if he leaves the mezuzahs there, then the goy may take the mezuzahs and mimavaza them. He might destroy them, he might throw them in the trash bin. So therefore, if a goy is the next person in line, either the landlord is a goy or the next tenant is a goy, then take it with you. There was a story where someone, in fact, took the mezuzah off when he left the apartment. The cover ishtu shnei bodov, and Nebuch, shortly thereafter, his wife and two children died, and Nebuch, he had to go and bury them. Now, the literal way that this brisa is positioned, it sounds like this is going on the final case of the minochri. We just said now, minochri noitle v'yoda v'yoytze. No problem, take it off and go. And now we're saying someone did that, and Nebuch, he had to be koivriz ishtish nevanav. My soul is stored. Are you telling me a story that is so sad that's contrary to what we were learning? Rav Sheshis Aresha. Rav Sheshis says the story is going on the Aresha, meaning the beginning of the Braisa, when it says that if the either the landlord or the next tenant is going to be Jewish, then k'shiyotze lo yivad biyada biyotze, don't take the mezuzah along. And unfortunately, this person did take the mezuzah along, and he didn't follow the dictates of Chazal. Nebuch kover ishtu yishnei bonav, because of removing the mezuzah. What's the inyan of removing the mezuzah? As we all know, mezuzah gives shmira on the house. That's why you write on the, you'll notice on many of the mezuzahs, it says from the outside, Shin Dalet Yud, which is Hashem's name, but Shin Dalet Yud is also Rosh HaTevis, Shoymer Dal Tzoyis Yisra. The Kodesh Baruch Hu watches over the Dal Tzoyis, the doors and the passageways of Yid. So if you take that away, you're unfortunately taking away the Shmir. Besides the fact that, of course, it says in Kriya Shema that a person puts on the mezuzah beisecha mishurecha, l'man yirul yameichem yimei b'neichem, alu adoma, that having a mezuzah is a skula for arichas yomim, for good health and good life, etc. So removing that takes that away, and that's why chas v'shalom cover ishtei u'shnei vanav. Barry has a question. I don't think it has any significance. I think that's, you know, how would you remove it? You remove it with your hands, but if you have to remove it with a screwdriver or something, I assume that's all the same. Yana Biyada, I think, just means taking it with himself and leaving. You should leave it there. Don't take it with you.
Okay,
getting back to the Gemara, it says in the Gemara, Zevel Shel Bala Bayis, if there is Zevel, meaning excrement, Tzoya, in the Chotzer, adjoining this house, it belongs to the landlord, then the Tzoya Chal Yom Tzvot Tanam and Kirayim Uvod, like we learned in the Mishnah. Right, Gemara Mayaskin, explain to me the fact pattern. Ilim Abachotze Di Ogir Le L'Tzoya, Di Ogir Le L'Tzoya, are we talking about a Chotzer that was leased to the tenant? In other words, the tenant, not only did he take the house, but he also took the adjoining chotzer, the toire, the shoiver, the soicher, and the shvorim, the animals that produce the shmutz, were also those of the soicher, meaning of the tenant. So am I shel bala bayis? Why should it belong to the landlord? After all, he's renting out the chotzer, as well as it's his animals that produced the zevel, so of course it should belong to him. What type of thing is that? Saying it belongs to the balus. Ela muzach, so I would turn the other way. B'chotzer de loya giro l'soicher. V'toyre de maskir. We're talking about the chotzer was not rented out to the tenant. The tenant only rented out the house. But the adjoining chotzer, that was left with the soicher. I'm sorry, with the maskir. And v'toyre de maskir. And in fact, it's the maskir's animals that produced this zeva. So for Pshita, why would even be a halamina that this would belong to the soicher? It's not his chotzer, it's not his animals, it's not his tzoya. What's the chiddush? Everyone with tzricha b'chotzer demaskir, the toyer di osami alma komuba. It's talking about the chotzer taki belonged to the maskir. Maskir meaning to the landlord. And who provided the zeva? It was toyer di osami alma. In other words, the maskir left the doors open, and often there were animals from elsewhere that would come in and would go and do their thing, and therefore the zevel comes from these strange animals. Okay, so what's the chiddush now? The chiddush is that the soicher decided that he could use some of that soya for zevel for his own fields. And since typically when you're talking about soya, it's usually afkuri mafkelhu, people are mafkir it. For instance, the owners of this house, of these animals that trespassed into this chotzer hamaskir, why didn't the owner of those animals come with a doggy bag to go and collect all of the excrement? Because he's mafkir, he just left it there. That being the case, I would think that if the seicher wants to, if he goes into the field and he's magbia, he picks up some of that soya up and he takes it from himself, I would say, yeah, no, that's not a problem after all. It's all hefker, you can take it. Kamashal on the Mishnah, no. If it's in the chotzer of the masker, it belongs to the masker. This is not on the sidewalk or in a public area. It belongs to the masker, and the soicher has no right to take it unless, of course, he gets permission. But otherwise, it's not his. Yeah, but the maskir doesn't even know that there were animals that came by and produced this zevel. Says him, well, who cares? Messiah Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, Yom Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, Chatzer Shel Odom Koine Shloi Shloi Midatoi. If a person owns a chatzer, the chatzer is koine, even if he doesn't know, the maskir could be fast asleep, or the maskir could be, a Rayin Gatan immersed in his daf, and he doesn't know what's going on there in the chatzit, and some behemoths came by, and they did their thing, and they left Tzoya behind, the maskir knows nothing, so Rabbi Yosef Chanina makes no difference. A chatzit is koinesh aloi midatoi, and therefore the Tzoycher, or anybody else, wants to go and remove some of that zevel, he's not allowed to, it belongs strictly to the maskir. The Gemara from here to the bottom of the Amud is going to ask a series of kashes on Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, that says that a chotzer is koinish shalei midata. Freit imar meisvei. Im omar kol metzioi shiyavoy letoichei hayoim, tiknet lichatzeiri. What happens if a person owns a chotzer and he makes a statement in the morning, before davening or after davening, that just in case there are any metzioids that blow into his chotzer during the day, somebody loses a few dollar bills and they blow into his chatzit, or we'll later have a case of what happens if you have an animal with a broken leg that comes into his chatzit, or fish that are blown up by the river overflowed, and now you have a flood, and now dogim, fish came into his chatzit, he makes a statement of what you say, any metzia shibayu. Technically, chatzayim my chotzer should be kaina loy omar klum. This is gunish. Pray to more gunish. Vim isva hadem rabbi yisrael chanina chatzayim shalom kaina shalom midatay lechoyra. Even if he didn't say anything, it should be kaina. Al achas kama v'kama. If he makes this statement that any metzias that find their way into my chotzer, no, of course it should be kaina. Rabbi yisrael chanina says you don't even have to know anything about it. Chotzer is kaina shalom midatay. Sefrei Timura, Amayla Yom Aklum. Why do you say that it says Gunish? Every Marachim Ayiskinen B'chotzer She'enem Mishtamerit. Talking about that the Chotzer does not have any type of fence around it. It's not Mishtamer. And therefore, when did Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina say that the Chotzer is Koyin Shalim Midatoi, Tavki B'chotzer HaMishtamerit? The Chotzer She'enem Mishtamerit, then it's not Koyin Midatoi. Aha. Okay, so in other words, Rabbi Yosef Chanina is talking about that there's a fence. This price is talking about there is no fence. Ah, it's a regular yachach. If that's the case, they must save. Let's continue the safe of the same price. Yotzaloi shame mitzia be'ir, devar of kayam. What happens if word gets around in the shtot, in the city, that in fact some mitzias have found their way into that person's chotzer? If that's the case, then the statement that he made in the morning, then the bar of kayam. Then what does that mean that there was a kol that metzias found their way into his chatzah? So Rashi gives the examples that we gave before. If you look at the Rashi, the sixth line from the top of the Ovid, top of the Yamit, sixth line, Yotzalei Shem Metzia Be'er, She Yotzal Koil Be'er, everybody in Shul is talking about Shabbat Tzvi Shover L'Toich Sedeu, that there was a handicapped Tzvi that came into his field with a broken leg and cannot move, waiting for the Hatzola veterinarian to come and help it out. Oy min hanor, heitav l'toich dogim, or the field is flooded with fish, and everybody in Shul is so, oh, did you hear about Yankel Smith today? Wow, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a bounty. He has now a free tzvi, which is in his chotzer. Or he just got a whole shipment min hashamayim and from the river of 200 fish. If that's the case, when he made the statement in the morning that his chotzer should be koinah, and all mitzias of that day should be koina, guess what? The word of kayyomim belongs to him. If you're talking about that the chotzer has no fence, remember this is the sefer of the same brisa. In the reisha we said in Omar komatzias sheyavoy v'teich hayoyim tikli chatzeri liyamaklum. That's worthless. However, if in fact mitzias do come into the chotzer that day and there's a kol be'ir that he in fact got these type of mitzias, then it works. Frank, well, how does it work? If you're telling me it's a chotzer she'enem mishtameres, ki yotzalei shem metzia be'ir, my haver boss is. What difference does that make? Anthony, I'll explain to you why. Ki yotzalei shem metzia be'ir, mivdil v'dili in shemina, v'havi lecha chotzer mishtameres. Even though there is no physical fence around the field, however, if the word has gotten out that metzias have found their way if you will, miraculously in this person's field, how Hashem has sent him a bounty in the form of this Tzvi Shogur or the Dogim Shebayam, people know he made the statement in the morning, all the Metzias today belong to me. And people heard, in fact, it was almost prophetic, because Metzias did find their way into his chatzah that day. And everybody will be Bedili Minei, Bedili from the Russian of Havdalah. They're going to separate themselves and they're going to say, I'm not going to even get close. I heard Yanko Smith this morning making that statement, and I heard the good news, he was Taka Zoyche to the Tzvi Shover and to the Togim. So nobody in his right mind is even going to think about going into that person's chatzah. So now it has the legal status, even though it doesn't have the physicality of a chatzah mishtameres, but in everybody's mind, everybody knows, that's not mine. That belongs to Yanko Smith. It's in his chatzah. It's his mitzvah. And therefore, it's kechatzah mishtameres, and it's koine, even shulei midata, even if he doesn't even know about it, because he wasn't in shul for Mincha Ma'ariv, he davened somewhere else, so he didn't hear about the good news that he got the Tzvi Shov and the Dogim. It's koine, shulei midata, because it's deemed to be kechatzah mishtameres. Okay, so let's continue on. Next, v'nucha kasha, again, on Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, that holds that a chatzah is koine shulei midata. Which we already had in the Mishnah. Zevel means the ash that comes out of the Tanam, the Kirayim that they used for producing the Zevel for fertilizer. The Musmei Koylet Min Avir says Rashi that a person was Mekabel Gololim Atoich Kli Shnosim Kli Bi Avir Vekibel Gololim Atoich. I'm reading from the Rashi about 10 lines from the top of the Omud. Person wanted gololim, so he went into the field of the balabus, and he put down a kli kibble, some sort of basin, to go be an avir, even before the gololim would fall on the floor, that they should go and fall into this receptacle. That receptacle was ba'avir. Apparently there was a big sign that this is a behema bathroom, and the behemoths knew that they should use that bathroom to go and the mapa glolim, they were mapa glolim into this basin, into this kli. And what happens? It says, now Hari Hushalai. If the soicher did that, even though this is not his chotzer, it's a chotzer of the maskir, but he put in such a kli, and the zel fell in, he can go and keep it. Hushalai. However, if there's any tsoya in a refes is a barn, the chotzer or in the chotzer itself, shabalabai. Because the Balabayas kept it for himself. He didn't rent it to the tenant. But let me understand the first part. We're saying that if the tenant put up such a kli, and the animals made inside the kli, then he, the tenant, can keep it. Then Isa, that a chotz is koine shloim midas, even without his knowledge, koine mi'avir. Then how can this fellow, the tenant, be koilet the zevel me'avir in middle of the ear? Am I? How are you shaloi? Because abechatzerihu. When we talk about a chotzer, we're not just talking about the floor of the chotzer. We're talking about the avir of the chotzer as well. So the avir of the chotzer is also koine. So as soon as the animal began to be matel glolim, even before the glolim fell into this basin, into this clay, then the Avu is already going to be half the masker. How can the Seicher take it for himself? Is the Choyra a Raya? Not like a Bishim Chanina, that a Chotzer is not going to Shalei Midatai. And if the masker was not around, then he, the Seicher, can go and be Koine the Glolim when they're in mid-air. Every Mar Olabai, no. Stomer ben Madbik Kli B'Shulei Par. We assumed until now that there was some sort of bathroom or stand or Kli, where the animals would go by, do their thing, and move on. No, we're talking about how was he koilet mina avir? He went, this soicher, and he attached some sort of mini basin to the bottom of the animal from where the excrement, from where the tzoya is emitted by the animal. He was madbik it. He attached it somehow with glue or with a bandage or whatever, so that in fact the glolim never saw the avir chotzer. They went straight from the animal's body into that kli, and so therefore, says Rashi, in such a case, the avir was not koina on behalf of the maskir. No, it was I. If the kasha falls away, no problem. Rava Omar Rava says, no, you don't have to go and say that pshat. Abishin. So if leduach lavki munach tami, even though the aver chotzis taka koine, as soon as something hits the avir, I agree with you. However, if it's the type of avir where the item is never going to fall on the ground, it's not going to reach the ground, then the avir is not koine. So you can say we're talking like the original case of a normal kli that was not attached to the bottom of the animal. Just the fact that the glolim fell into that kli, and they're not going to fall on the ground, because this kli doesn't allow the glolim to fall on the ground. It fell into the kli. So it's avish ein seif lenuach. The object is not going to go and fall and lie in the ground. Lav ki munach domin, it's not considered to be munach. That being the case, you don't need to come onto the teretz that you were madbik the kli b'shulei habehem. Faith more of a pshita le the rabba. Are you telling me that according to rabba that avish ein seif lenuach is lav ki munach domin? This is a famous shayla that they used to go and ask, a shayla that we have, which pertains not only to Hilchus Gneivin Gzeila, but also to Hilchus Shabbos and Erevin. The boy Rova, Zorik Anki, the Pesach Zev, Yatzosami, the Pesach Zev. Person had a house that had two doors, a front door and a back door, and the front door and the back door were parallel to one another, and a person threw an arniki, a wallet, from outside through the front door, and he had a good pitching arm, and it flew all the way through the house, through the back door, and now it's on the other side of the house. What's the halach? Ma? Avish ein seif lenuach kimunach tami? Or lav kimunach tami? Do we say that since it went through the avir of the house, so then it belongs to the balabas of the house? Rashi says that when he threw the arniki, he was hifkira lechol hakoyvim. He was mafkir, and he says, Raboisai, this wallet has in it some money. Doesn't say how much, presumably not too much. But he says, whoever finds this wallet and the money can keep it. And now it went through the avir of somebody's house. It never landed on the floor because he threw it on a fly. It went from one door through the other door to outside the house. So what's the din? Do you say that the fact that it went through the avir of the house, the owner of the house was koin it min a hefker? Or do you say no? Avish ein seif lenuach lemaisa, it never was noch inside the house. It was on a fly, it continued flying. So maybe it doesn't belong to him. So does it, doesn't it? Ah, so we see that this very shaila about Avish ein seif lenuach is not so simple. Boy, Rabba asks the shaila. So over here, how did Rabba paskin? That if the glogan fell into a kli, and it's ein seif lenuach, lav kimunach tami, and that's why the soicher is allowed to go and take the glogan, he doesn't have to leave it for the maskir. That's not so simple. It could be that even though it's lav kimunach tami, it's still the avir is kainan. Is a fundamental difference between the fact pattern of our case and the fact pattern of Rabbi Shaila. In the case of Rabbi Shaila, both doors were open. Plenty of air stream going back and forth. All this person had to do was throw the arniki, and he did a good job. It went on a fly all the way from door one, through the house, through door two, out into the street, beyond the house. Okay, there was nothing that was holding it back, no obstacle. In our case, there was the kli that doesn't allow the glolim to fall to the ground. Even if you wanted the glolim to fall to the ground, as soon as they come into the kli, they're not going to fall on the ground. Ah, so that's why, says the Gemara, even Rava, who had the shayla legabi, the throwing of the arniki, because there, it's amrish ein soifa lenuach, it's not going to fall on the floor. There was no barrier to make sure that it falls. I mean, it could be that his pitching arm was weak that day, and maybe it would not have gone on a fly all the way through the other door. That's true. However, but there was no physical barrier holding it back. Since everything was open, one door was parallel to the other door. It was taka aver shen soifa lenuach. In the case, however, of us, here we're talking about that there was this base in this kli that was blocking the glolim from falling to the ground. Ah, says Rava, since it blocked it, lav kimunach tami, we do not say it's as if it fell to the ground. It's not going to fall to the ground. The kli is blocking it. Therefore, In such a case, the avir is not koina. Avir is only koina when there's no barrier, no obstacle that would fall on the ground. In the case of where we have this barrier, that's, says Rav, no, no, lav kemunach dami, and that's why the soicher is allowed to take it for himself. Okay, so we've ended the kasha again on a beautiful chanina, and now the Gemara asks Stam a question. The Braisa says that if you found the glolim in a refes or a chotzer, hara'ili shubalabayis. Freiti mora tarti, why does the Gemara have to give two examples? After all, a refes means inside the barn, chotzer means inside the chotzer. Both of them, we assume, belong to the masket, to the balabayis. Neither of them were rented away in the havamina to the tenant. So of course, wherever you're going to go and find glolim, whether it's the refes or whether it's in the chotzer, why does the gemara have, why does the braisa have to say both? It means it's both illustrating the same halacha, that if the masket held on to it, it belongs to the masket. Rabbi, no. Hachik amar b'shev refes shev chotzer. Not that we had a vav in between. Shev refes v'shev chotzer. Hari eli shev balabayis. Take out that vav. Refes shev chotzer hari eli shev balabayis. What does that mean? Amar Vashi zoyisameres hamaske chatzeiro istam lo yisker refes shevo. Oh, in fact, the tenant not only rented the house, but he also rented the chotzer. And in the chotzer, he puts all his belongings, and he parks his car, and he parks all of his Pesach things, as well as maybe he's growing something in the front yard, in the backyard, whatever. However, he did not rent to him the refes, the barn, inside the chotzer. That's the masker said I need for myself, like holding on to a shed or a storage space where he keeps some of his extra stuff. That he did not rent out. In other words, not that they stipulated in the contract that I'm not renting to you the refes. He only leased or rented to him the chotzer. That was it. Zokravashi, Zoisameris. Even if you're masker chatzeristam, the refes is not included. If you want to include the barn, make sure you spell it out in the document. I'm hereby leasing to you not only the courtyard, but also the barn inside the courtyard. Otherwise, the barn has its separate chashivis bifnei atzmoi, and it still belongs to the maskir. Oh, that's what the price is telling us. That if one of the animals did a job inside the refes, inside the chotzer, not in the chotzer, in the refes, in the chotzer, in the barn, and was matel glolim, that belongs to the balabos. But if the same animal did it outside the barn, in the chotzer, then it belongs to the tenant, because the tenant rented out the chotzer. Okay. Meisler, we go back again to Beis Reb Chanina that says a chotzer is koyne shalei midatay. Frank Dimar, Meisler, yoyne shoyvach v'yoyne aliyah. Yoyne shoyvach, yoyne aliyah is a, what we call a dove cut. It's like a chicken coop, but it's not for chickens. It's a dove cut for doves. And these yoyne shoyvach and yoyne aliyah were typically wild hefkedika yoynim doves that fly from place to place to place. And of course they needed a place to sleep at night, so they would go and move in temporarily to a shoybech or to an aliyah. They did not belong to the owner of the shoybech or the aliyah. They were, if you will, squatters. They didn't pay rent. They would just come into the shoybech and aliyah and they would stay there for a while. And guess what? These yoinim, after a while, started having children. They had bayim, and what's the din when you have a mommy bird and bayim? Then of course, the Torah tells us, you're not allowed to go and take the bayim. Shaleach the shalach esayim, v'yasabonim tikach loch. There's a mitzvah of shiluach hakat. Aha, okay. So you have these yoni shoivach, you have the yoni aliyah. Mr. Smith, the owner of the shoivach or aliyah, opens up the shoivach aliyah one day, and he sees over there a nest with a bunch of eggs, and he sees the yoina is sitting on the eggs, and he says to himself, I could use those eggs for omelets for breakfast or whatever. What's the din? Chayovis b'shiluach. No, you have to do shiluach hakan, and then you can go and take the eggs. Basur is begevim nidar kisholim. Anybody that wants to take the eggs, he'd be oivra and gezel because of dar kisholim. Why only dar kisholim? The Gemara will explain shortly. Okay, so that's the end of the price. Frank Dima. Then Yisrael had Yom Rab Yisrael Rab Chanina. Chatzir Shalom Koyne Shalom Midatoi. Kri kan ki kore prat lemezuman. What does the Gemara mean? For those of you that have the Torah or HaShalem, you'll see an ois aleph. Ki kore kan tipul afanecha baderech b'chol eitz oy ala oretz afroichim oy beitzim vo'emer vetzis ala afroichim oy ala beitzim v'yisikach ha'em al habonim v'shalech v'shalech es'em v'sabonim tikach loch. Aha. Okay, so what's this halacha? You're walking down the road, and then you see in the middle of a tree there that is a hefkadika tree. It doesn't belong to anybody in particular. It belongs, I guess, to the city, to the municipality. And he sees on it that there's a kan sipar nefanecha baderech. B'chol eitz ala aretz. Anywhere haphazardly, you see it on the road, you see it on a beam, you see it on a tree. And he sees that there are bayim there, that there are eggs. V'yisikach eim ala bar. Okay. Now why does the Torah use that expression, ki yikari? Prat lemezuman. What means prat lemezuman? It's got to be that it's outside in the open, as opposed to that it belongs to someone. If this kan with the veil is on someone's personal property, then there's no din of shiluch hakan, because that's called mezuman. Mezuman means it was prepared, as opposed to ki yikari, a mikra that you happen to just come across. Okay, so now what's the kasha? The kasha is, this kan finds itself in these shoivach or in the aliyah. The shoivach or the aliyah belongs to Mr. Yankel Smith. No, it's a chotzer, meaning it's a piece of property that belongs to Yankel Smith. He may not even know that there happened to be the eggs and there happened to be yoin in there, but it makes no difference because a chotzer shalom kan lishlam idaka. If that's the case, this is not a case of hefkedika yoinim and hefkedika eggs that you find yikari baderech. This is mezuman. It belongs to Yankel Smith. So how can there be a din of chayavos b'shiluach? And why would it be also b'nei dar kisholim mishum gezel? It's real gezel, because after all, this is his property. You're taking the chotzer's kodesh l'midatoi. Is the chayra raya that a chotzer is not kodesh l'midatoi? So Gemara gives a couple of answers. First, Teretz Omer Rava, Ve'yimetzias Ruba Hudi Ichayv Yelo B'Shiluach. Mikna Lekanya Adanof Lelachat Seiroi. V'chiketoni Chayovas B'Shiluach. Mekame the Tipo Lachat Seiroi. Says Gemara, a very interesting text. Ve'yimetzias Ruba, the egg of the dove in this case, is about to emerge. In other words, this is the day that the yoyne intends to lay the egg. The egg is already partially outside the mommy's womb. I don't know if birds have wombs, but whatever place inside the mommy where the eggs form themselves. So that egg is now starting to come out, and roiv of it has already come out. So now, since roiv of it has come out, we have that standard rule throughout Shas, throughout the Torah, typically rubai kikulai, so it's as if the bayim have come out ready. So from that moment on, they are now bayim. He's a chayva levi shiluach. They have to do shiluach hakah. However, mikma lekanya, when will the baal hachotzer, meaning the baal haishoivach and the baal aliyah, be koina those eggs, adanaf lechatzay, when they actually come out? In the meantime, they're still within the mother's body. They haven't come out yet. So when would the kinyan chotzer take place? When it comes out. It's still hanging there. 60% is out, but 40% is still in. B'chiktoni, when it says in this price, chayovas b'shiluach, mekame the tipul chatzera. It's talking about that small window between the yetzias ruba and the yetzias kula. That for purposes of shiluach hakanas, long as 51% is already out, then you're not allowed to go and take that egg because of the fact that there's a din of shaliach to shalach hasein. On the other hand, the owner of the shoivach doesn't own it yet because he only owns it when it comes out, at least the whole thing into the avir. But as long as it's still in the mommy's stomach, he's not coined it yet. Therefore, our halach of the price for Yom Bishluch is talking during that period of time when it's 51% out, but not 100%. Frank Mori Hachi, if that's the case, Hamai Asurois Mishim Gezel, why do we say that the Chai Mishim Gezel, meaning, since, says Rashi, Kim Dele Noflo Lachatzera, since the egg hasn't emerged fully yet, it's only 51%, it's not 100% out. So therefore, it still belongs to the mommy, so to speak. The mommy is Hefker, and therefore, what's the issue vis-a-vis the eggs. The eggs don't belong to the Baal HaChotzer yet, because it didn't come out into the Chotzer, right? You say it's Lukanya, the Nofel HaChotzer. If it's still not 100% emerged, only 51%, so it doesn't belong to the Baal HaChotzer. So what's the Gezel? The Gezel that we're talking about is not on the Bein, we're talking about on the mother bird. That if somebody were to steal the mother bird, that he's Oyvim Mishim Gezel Neidar Kisholem. Why is that Neidar Kisholem? Because remember, these are Hefka Dika birds. It doesn't belong to the Baal HaShoyach or the Baal Aliyah. So why is there a din of Gezel Neidar Kisholem? Says Rashi, because since this Yoina has decided to go and live in that Shoyvach or that Aliyah, to the point that it's already built a nest and it's already laying eggs into that nest, so the Baal HaShoyvach, says Rashi, Datoy Aleihem, he's already thinking in his mind, he's going to have Yoinim, he's going to have eggs, he's going to have eggs for breakfast, he's going to be able to go and sell these Yoinim in the street, or whatever. So this person, even though legally it doesn't belong to him yet, because it's not koine, but nevertheless, since his daite, Allah the Chacham said, you know, mepnei dar kisholem, don't chepel with yenim shoyvach and aliyah. After all, he built in a shoyvach and aliyah. These yoinim decided to go and park themselves and live in the shoyvach and the aliyah, even if they're squatters. But since daite, Allah, there's no emistik and din of gezlem and atoyna. But midrabban mepnei dar kisholem, let everybody be koine, those hefka birds that come into their shoyvach and their yoinim. We're talking about the eggs themselves. That as soon as Roiv comes out, it's basically the same svara that we said the Gabi the Iman, that even though legally these don't belong to the Iman because they fly around, but nevertheless, since he had his das on it, then leave it with him. Says the Gemara now, even the Gabi the Bein, you have that same svara. That since once these eggs are already emerging from the mommy's body, even though it's only 51%, he already has his mind on it. Oh, as soon as this egg is going to Mi'at Hashem be laid, I'm going to go and send away the egg. I'm going to take the eggs and so on and so forth. Since his das on it, stay away. Me'dakishon says Yomar, I have even a better teretz like Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina. Why this is not a situation of mizuman, which would mean that there's no din of shiluach hakat. The Hakim Yom Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, also liskoitz the bein calls man she'im revetzes aleihem. The Torah says that you're not allowed to be zoicha to take the eggs for yourself as long as the mommy bird is still sitting on it. Shenemar shalech l'shalach es'ein v'hoder, and only after that es abonam tikach loch. Ooh, so if I, Yanko Smith, the owner of the Shoyvach or of the Aliyah, find a nest full of eggs, I'm not allowed to take those eggs. Why? Shalech Tishalach HaSeim. And only after that, Barim Tikach Loch. So I feel the Tame the Nafal Lachatzeroi. Even if the actual eggs fell into the Chatzer, they're in the nest. They're no longer sticking out from the mommy's body. It's on the floor or on the whatever, on the shelf there in the Shoyvach or the Aliyah. It still does not belong to him. Why? Because the Chatzer is only an extension of his own right of possession. He could go and be Zoycha in something, so his Chatzer is Zoycha. Like Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina said, a Chatzer is Kainish Loim Ita'atoy. I myself couldn't take the eggs because the Torah says don't take the eggs until the shiluach. Therefore, my chotzer also cannot be zoyche. So, getting back to the beginning of the brisa, I have yoni yoshoyvech and yoni aliyah chayomus b'shiluach, and we said why chayomus b'shiluach? Why don't you say it's mezuman? It belongs to him. The answer is it doesn't belong to him. When will it belong to him? After shiluach. Because until that point, even I, the owner of the aliyah shevach, can't take it in my own hands. If I can't take it in my own hands, then the chotzer cannot do better than me. The chotzer is only an extension. It's nishbeser. Therefore, tinami lo yizachirei. Frankly, more if that's the case, hitaka wasn't zoicher. He hoche asur is begezlin the dark yisholem. So let me understand this. It's also because you're not going to go and take these eggs out of Dark Yishol. Let me ask you. If you're talking about that Yitaka sent away the bird, so now the bird, the mommy bird, is no longer there, and now these, the nest together with the eggs are in your Shevach or in your Aliyah, look, you should give them Aliyah. If you hold like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina, that the Chatz is Koinish Loi Midas, then these eggs belong to me. It belongs to Uncle Smith. Anybody that takes them, this is Nishka Dar Kishonim. Just like Gezma Aliyah, the Chemist to Gezma. Elamai Ipulo Isholcha. You're talking about that the person didn't send away the mommy yet. Haboy Shalucha. Don't talk about that there's a problem mid Rabbanon of Gezma that made Dar Kishonim. You have a Deiraisa problem. The right is we seek Achaim Alabonim. You're not allowed to go and take the eggs until Shulech B'Shalach HaSeim, and then only after that is a Bonim Tikach Loch. So don't tell me in the Brisa it's also be given the darkish on. It's also to take them because it's going to be over the Issa the Raisa that says Ki Kori Kantipul of Anecha we seek Achaim Alabonim. You're not allowed to take the Bonim until Shulech B'Shalach HaSeim. That's a Diraisa problem. That's not an Issa Dira Bonim. Everything more is talking about the cotton to lab bar shivuach. It's talking about a cotton that is taking the eggs for himself, and he didn't send away the mommy bird. And if he didn't send away the mommy bird, he's not going to be over on the iser of shivuach or the sikach emalabon because he's still a cotton. I mean, it's hilchis chinuch havada if the mechanach yom kindlach, but he's just a cotton. So Frank Dimor, if he's just a cotton bar darkish holomu, if that's the case, what are we talking about if he takes away the eggs and he didn't send away the mommy bird? Okay, he's part of Moldinim because he's only 12 years old, he's Nishka B'mitzah. Fine, but is he subject then to the dinim of don't take it because of darkish holom? If he's not subject to diarises, he's certainly not subject to dirabonim, and he has to be concerned that he's stealing from somebody in the darkish holom. The price means a little bit differently. If you have a yingler who's all of 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, and he takes away the bonim, meaning he takes away the eggs without doing shiluach ha'eim. Okay, we're not going to go and give him malchus, we're not going to scream at him, we're not going to do anything bad. He's only a cop. He's not mechuyev in mitzvahs. However, the owner of the shoivach or of the Aliyah complained and said, Mr. Jones, your yingler stole my eggs. Are you aware of it? Okay, see, he wasn't over the Eraisa because he stole a cotton. But I'm missing those eggs. So then the father, it says, the father of this yingler should go and pay the owner of the Shoivach of the Aliyah for the loss of those eggs. Not me'ikra din. It's only a cotton. And it's not him, it's his son who did it. Al Starke Sholem, he should go and pay for his son's Gneva and Gzeva. Okay, with this we start a brand new Mishnah. From here to the end of the daf is quite straightforward, Rabbi Sai. Maske Bais Lechaveiro in the Shana. Again, we continue talking about landlord and tenant relationships. And here we're talking about an annual rent. And then we're going to talk about a monthly rent. Hamaske bais lechaver l'shana. A person rented out his house to his chaver for a whole year. And he just said from Tishrei to Tishrei. And guess what happens? This Abra Hashana, this year, Baruch Hashem, it was an Ibiyur, a leap year. Now, in Tishrei, they didn't know it was going to be a leap year. They only announced that in Adar, they were expanding it, there's going to be an Adar Aleph and an Adar Beis. Now the question is, does he have to go and pay more rent as a result of the fact that this is not a 12-month year, it's a 13-month year? See, Mishnah says, Maskabai Sachavei Lashana, Nis'abra Hashana, even though the year has become a leap year, Nis'abra L'Soicher, the tenant gets a freebie, since the rent was an annual rent, a Mushal annual rent of $1,200, he only has to pay $1,200 for the whole year, even though he's gotten the benefit of 13 months. However, what happens if he said, no annual rent, monthly rent. I'm renting it to you, not for a year. I'm renting it to you for 12 months. In other words, he said, from Tishrei to Tishrei, but not $1,200 payment. As you know, we've had in the past, Ein's Chiris Mishtalemus El Lebesoif. At the end of the Chiris, he paid for the entire amount. So in the case of the annual, he would pay him $1,200 before he leaves. Here, however, it wasn't an annual rent, it was a monthly rent. Hiskalei Chadashim, $100 a month. In such a case, it's Abreshan, it's Abreshan, Maskir. Since it's a monthly rent, every additional month that you live there, you gotta pay for it. So if it's from Tishrei to Tishrei, not $1,200 a year, but $100 a month, there's 13 months this year because it's a leap year, then the Maskir gets the extra month of rent. Now, so we see very clearly, an annual rent, then the Soicher gets the additional month. If it's a monthly rent, then the Maskir, the landlord, gets it. Now the Gemara tells us a story of somewhere in between. Masa b'Tzipori. Tzipori, as you know, was a shtetl near Tveria in the north. The echad shesocha merchitz mechaberoi, a person who rented a merchitz from his chaber b'shneim, osir zov lishana, midiner zov l'chodesh. Oh, the lease agreement between the landlord and the tenant provided for two types of payments. What two types? He's saying, I'm renting this merchitz to you for the whole year for 12 zahav, shnei masa zahav, and a dinner zahav l'chodesh, one dinner per month. Okay, so now we have both an annual rent of 12, a monthly rent of one dinner. In your average year, it's not a problem. You pay it annually or monthly, so the mice, you pay 12 altogether. But this year became a leap year. What happens now? Do you pay now 13 or you pay 12? Uba Maisa, and the story came in front of Lefneiram Shem Gamliel, Lefneiram Yoisi, the Amru, and they said, Yachloiku es Chodesh Iver, split it down the middle. Now this is not because of Sumchit, Dabra Mutu Misafik is Chokin, but that's because of the two contradictory languages in the lease agreement. If you're going to go after an annual payment, then you're going to go and pay, then you're going to allow the Maskir to pay 12 altogether. If you're going to say, yeah, but it's a monthly payment, then you're going to say that the Maskir is right. So the Maskir has a good taina, the Soich has a good taina, so you split it down the middle, Yachloiku. But we'll see in the Gemara Miat Hashem, it's not so simple. We're going to have two other halachas other than the Mishnah. Yes, I see. Rabbi, you have a question.
By the contradictory notion, it seems that a prevention was taken by the Soicher that in case the 13th month is declared, otherwise, then he gets the 13th month, otherwise why would he make a double option contract? It makes no sense. 1 year is we know that it's 12 months. It's explicit that it's 12 months. If you put in this additional clause, as a lawyer, would, is to prevent the possibility of declaration of an liberty.
I think that perhaps the reason why, you're asking a good question, why did they bother making this double language? It's only confusing, and in Ibiyor it's contradictory. I think perhaps answer number one is that I don't want to say anything bad about the lawyers, but some lawyers get paid per word. So if you add another few words, they get a larger fee. As you know, in many, many agreements, when you take for instance, if, I don't know if you've ever written a will, if you have, they say it's a school of Arichas Yamin, but typically you say, and I hereby assign, bequest, transfer, give, present, a whole line of five or six different words are all synonymous. Why do you do it? You want to cover all bases. Here too, they wanted to cover all bases, and he says, 12 dinarim for a year, which is one dinner per chayish. Now, it could be that, more than just that you want to go and repeat yourself, it could be that this is what we're saying. The rent was a rent for a whole year. And the whole year's rent is 12 zehuvim. And how should you pay it? Don't pay it at the end. I want you to pay it on a monthly basis. Because who knows, in a year from now, maybe you won't have the money. So the rental is a year, 12 zehuvim. Pay it one zehuv per month. And now the problem is, since it's a 13th month, does that affect the language of the lease? And say, Taka says 1 year 12, but this is a one per month in the 13 months. So that's how the Shai L'Choyra arose. So Zokti Mayetz. Maisa Lister L'Choyra, this Maasa B'Tzipori at the end of the Mishnah is Soisa, what we learned in the Mishnah. How is it Soisa? Because we said in the Mishnah, in the case where it only has the annual rent, you have to go and pay, then the Soicher gets the benefit of the extra month. If it says a monthly rent, then the Maasa gets the benefit. And then we have a miser when we say you split it down the middle. That's neither like the first case nor like the second case. Seems to be inconsistent with the first two cases of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, you're right. So we have to add another line of text to the Mishnah. When do we say it goes totally to the masker? Or when do we say it goes totally to the soicher? If there is no inconsistent language. However, the im omalay b'shneim osas uv neshana midinazav b'chaydesh then yachleiku u'masanami b'tzipoyli b'yachad shesachem merchatz b'chaberi b'shneim osas uv neshana midinazav b'chaydesh u'mamayis lefnei rabbi shemim gamliel lefnei rabbi yoisi v'yomru yachleiku es chaydesho ibur. Go and split that final month. Oh! So the mice is not a mice lister, rather the mice supports the third halach of the Mishnah, which we have just added, that if the language is inconsistent, then you go and split it down the middle. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Omer Rav, so Rav says, whatever it says in the Mishnah is Kodesh, 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 for sure. But Iyavoy Hasan, had I been there, said Rav, have you hidden the Kule, have you hidden the Kule the Maskir? I would have said that it's the landlord that benefits, and he gets 13 months rent. Freitimar, my kamash malon. Why does Rav L'Chayra hold that way? Because he holds toughest Lashon Hara. That whenever you have an inconsistency in language, you look at the final word. Even though it starts off, it's 12 Zuhum L'Shana, but since it ends off one Zuh L'Chayrish, that's the concluding word, and toughest Lashon Hara. Freitimar, if that's what Rav holds. And that's the reason why the maskir would get the benefit of 1 month's more rental. Rav already said this in a different fact pattern, so Rav doesn't need to repeat it on our Mishnah. We know that Rav is a toughest Lashon Achron person. Dim Ravuna Amri Bei Rav Istira Meyamoi is Meyamoi. Meyamoi Istira is Istira. What does that mean? You have a Chenveni who is selling an item, and person asks him, what is the amount? How much does it cost? So he tells him, it costs an istira meyamoy. Now what means an istira? If you have a lengthy Rashi, but the Rashi is very, very straightforward. Rashi tells us is what we have discussed from time to time, and that is the currencies that you had in the times of Chazal. And there's a mnemonic to remember it very easily, and that is do vev ches, dalet vav beis beis ches. Which means that you start off with a sela. Sela has an adalid for dinner. Then every dinner has vav, has six moha. Every moha has beis, two punjoinim. Every punjoin has beis, two isrim. And every isr has ches, eight prutas. Now in our case, we're not talking about tzaloim, we're talking about the dinner. So we start with the dinner. The dinner, as we just said now, has in it six moha. Six. Every moha has two punjoinim, which means 6 times 2 is 12. Every punjin has in it 2 isrim, 2 times 12 is 24. Every isr has in it 8 prutois, 8 times 24 is 824. 8 times 4 is 32. Leave down the 2, carry the 3, and then you go and multiply the 8 times 2 is 16. You add the 3, 192. It's an easier way to do it, and that is 8 times 25 is 200, right? 4 times 25 is 100, 8 times 25 is 200. Here it's 8 times 24 is 192. That's if you're talking about a full dinner. However, it says Rashi, an istira is a half of the dinner. Half of the dinner means that in every istira you have 96 prutas. So somebody asked him, how much does this shirt cost? How much does this pair of pants cost? So he says, this is istira, which is 96, and then he immediately says, meyamoy, 100 prutas. So he said, 96, and he said, 100. Make up your mind, mister, is it 96 or 100? So if you want a meyamoy, says Rav, you gotta pay the 100. Because the final word, the Tavit Lashon Achron, was 100. What happens if he said the other way around? Oh, this shirt you can get, it's on sale, you can get it for meyamoy, which means for 100 prutas, istira, for 96. What's the din? He only has to pay istira 96. Oh, so you see, toughest Lashon Achron. So in our Mishnah, also toughest Lashon Achron. Why does Rav say, if I would have been there, this is the way I would have paskin? I know Rav has his shita of toughest Lashon Achron. So the Ma'imi Yehosim Abba Min Aprusha Kamafarish. If it would only have that aloha by the istira, may, I would think that Rav holds that you do the final word because it is explaining the first word. Meaning, so Rashi explains, when he said, Estira Meyamoy, not that it's inconsistent, Estira is 96 and Meyamoy is 100. He says to the customer, it depends what type of coin you're giving me. If you're giving me an Estira, a half a dinner, I want it to be solid. I don't want it to be worn off on the top or on the bottom. So then Ashtarka Estira, so much so that people will be willing to pay for it, not 96 prutas, they'll give you 100 prutas because it's in pristine mint condition. You see exactly every part of the picture and all the words. It's all really pristine, beautiful. Oh, so that's an Estira which is worth Meyamoy. So you have to pay Meyamoy. On the other hand, if he says Meyamoy Estira, what he means is, I want 100 prutas. Doesn't have to be the best prutois in circulation, even a bissel schwacher prutois. I'm willing to take an estira, which is only 96 old together. So therefore, it's not that he's chapping on the last lashon because of the lashon achrei. It's because the last lashon is explaining what he meant originally. Parisha kamafarish, kamash bulan. That's why he says in our mishnah, and our mishnah has nothing to do with better coins or worse coins. Says Rav, if I would have been there, I would have said, go and pay per month, because those are the last words that he used. Shtei Masa Zehuva Mashana, Dinner Zohar L'Chadish. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says a totally different shot. He says, the case of our Mishnah, of the Achloiku, is Bebov Be'emtza Chodesh Eskinan. We're in the 13th month, and we're Tezvov, we're in the middle day of the middle of that last month. In other words, 12 months have already passed. We're now up to month number 13. So the masker comes to the soicher. If he comes on the first day, he says, bear in mind, even though in our contract we said 12 months for 12 dinarim, that's because I assumed it was going to be a normal year. That I know the peasant is going to go and make an imbiur. I never thought of something like that. But now that they made it, you're staying here 13 months, you gotta pay for the 13th month. So if he comes with Chilas Chodesh, kula maskil. If, however, he let the Soicher live there already for the full month, and now at the end of the 13th month he says, you gotta pay for the 13th month, it's kula Soicher. What's this far behind it? Very, very simply, that he go after the Muchzik, and a Moitz Mechaber Olivarai. If the person has only lived there so far 12 months, who owns the property? The masker. The masker says, you gotta pay for the 13th month. On the other hand, if the soicher has already lived there, so he is the muhsik on his money, I already lived in the property for the 13th month, I don't have to pay. But if he comes smack in the middle of the 15th day, so then the first part of the month has already passed, the second part has not passed yet, says the masker to the soicher, it's my apartment, if you want to stay, you gotta pay. Since he already stayed half of the month, he was already the muhsik. The tenant doesn't have to pay for the first half, but he does have to pay for the second half. Shouldn't Shmuel agree to Rav? Just go after Tovas Lashon Achrei, like Rav just said. V'Rabu Shmuel v'Amri Tavai. They both agreed. Kur b'shloishim ani moichelach yochalasa b'yafilu b'sachroim. Kur b'shloishim sawbis. Kur b'shloishim sawbisel ani moichelach rishon rishon kana. What is this all about? A person is a farmer and he's selling a whole kur. Kur, as you know, is 30 sa'ah. He's selling 30 sa'ah of grain, lemashal, bishloishim, for 30 sloim, for 30 shkolim. So therefore he's paying one sela per sa'ah. A kur of 30 sa'ah, I'm selling to you for shloishim for $30. So it's $1 per bushel, per sa'ah. If he says that, and he starts counting out one saw, two saw, three saw, yochalasa be'afilu b'sa'ach reina. They can both change their minds even till the final sa'ach reina. Why? Because this was a package deal. 30 saw for 30 saw. On the other hand, if he says, kur b'shloishim, saw b'sela, I'm selling you 30 for 30, and how much does that come out to? One saw for a sela, ani moichalach, rishin rishin kana. If he already counted out 15, 16, 18, 20 sa'ah, and now he changes his mind, the first 18, 20 that has already been counted out, that's kana. What is remaining, the remaining 10 lamushal that hasn't been counted yet, there he can stop there. So kana, rishon rishon kana, whatever he counted out already has already been nikna, because you look upon it as being like 30 mini sales. So 20 sales he's already taken care of. He did a mashicha on 20 of them. The remaining 10 he has charat. So what's the reason? The Gemara assumes the reason is because stuff is Lashon Achre. And the Lashon Achre over here was Kurbish Lashon. So Besela. So Besela, that's the key, the So Besela. And therefore, if you've only counted out 20, he was only kind of 20, and he could change his mind after 20. Come to Chois, Shmuel holds like Rav. Everything Gemara know, Hasan Tayyum Maimishim the Tophis, Achanamiko Tophis. Now you don't understand. The reason why, both in the case of the house of the 13th month, and the case of the saw, the reason why we say that he can go and hold on to whatever he has, because he's toughest. Meaning, in the case of the 30 saw, whatever he did a mashicha on 20 of the saw, he was very tight to that. So if the moicha says, you know what, I don't want to sell you all 30 because the prices have gone up, I agreed to a seller, I want to charge you now a sell and a half. Whatever he chopped already, he chopped. I mean, chopping, in other words, whatever he was toifis, he already got 20, counted at 1, 2, 3, 4, he counted 20. That already belongs to him. He doesn't have to give it back, and we're done. Same thing with the apartment. As long as the person, the tenant, lived there already for 15 days, he was already toifis, he's already muxik in those days, and he's not a muxik without a taina, he has a taina. I took it for a year, and the year is 13 months. I want to hold on to it for the whole time. So whatever he's tough as he's the muxik, and therefore he only has to pay for the remaining 15 days. He doesn't have to pay for the full month. So that was Rav, and that was Shmuel. Now we have Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman Omar, Karka b'cheses ba'alea kayemes. Karka is always in the cheska of the balabatim, meaning in this case the masker. Zakti Mar, so what does that mean? So that Rav Nachman basically agrees with Rav, that Rav says in Iavoi Hossam, I would say, Yehim Lekul Lamaske, don't split it down the middle, but the Maske gets the full 13th month. Says Rav Nachman, the property belongs to the Maske, you gotta pay for the 13th month. Karkim Ches Balea Kemes. What is Rav Nachman telling us? Tafel Roshan Achre. That's the same of Rav. The Rav said also above that it's Kul Lamaske. Rav Nachman holds Avagav the Apach Mepach. Rav Nachman doesn't go with Tophis Lashon Achre. His view is, who is the muxik in the property? It belongs to the landlord. The tenant is only there temporarily. The Balabatim are there permanently. And therefore the Balabatim, they have the upper hand, Yodam Al-Yoyna, and they can go and say, this was a monthly rental, you gotta go and pay 13 months. We're the muxik on the property. You wanna stay? You gotta pay, sir. And otherwise, leave. Okay, so we had a very fascinating discussion. We had the Mishnah, and then we had Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Nachman. Finally, the Gemara goes to a different topic, not talking about Ibiyum, but Stam. We have a dispute between the landlord and the tenant whether he paid rent. Who has to prove that they paid or not? So what's the shaykh? The soicher says, I already gave you rent, I paid you cash, so I don't have any check as a receipt. And the masker said, no, you didn't pay me anything. So who has to prove it? Amos. If we're talking about at the beginning of his man or at the end of his man, we have a beferish mishnah, did not. And this mishnah is not talking about a landlord or a tenant, but it's talking about the thin of pigeon and bed. What happens if a father Nebuch passes away within the 30 days after his Bechoyer is born? Nebuch, he was not Zoyche to even 30 days with his new Benoy HaBechor. Father passed away, 15 days, a week after the Bris, the father passed away. Now the question is, can the Koyin go and say, you know, is there a mitzvah on the son to go and be poyde himself? You can assume that the father didn't pay his bills yet, he didn't pay for the 5 slime. Actually, unless you can show that in fact he did pay. The other way around, when the father passed away on day number 35, the assumption is that he was poisoned. Unless you prove otherwise. So I see that the toichazman, the assumption is no payment was made. Li'achrizman, the assumption is a payment was made. No, the same thing over here. In the case of the 30 days, where the Soicha says, I paid, and the Matzi says, I didn't pay, let's see. If it's Petoicha Zman, the assumption is he did not pay, because Schir is only Mishtal Hemis L'Besoy. If it's talking about at the end of the Zman, the assumption is he did pay. So what's the Shaila that Rabbi Yana is asking? Every Mar is talking about we're talking about on the final day of the lease term. Let's say the lease term was 30-day lease on day number 30. The question is, and now we're talking about, let's say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the landlord says to the tenant, no, pay. The tenant says, I already paid 9 o'clock this morning. Don't you remember, right after the daf, I came over to your house, to your office, and I paid you. Is me of an inish to part of B.I.M. the Mishlam's money? Do you say that a person normally pays on time? And if the tenant says he paid? Or your lawyer, do you say no? We learned it already. What did we learn? That if you have an employer with 50 employees, and the employer says, I already paid you, and the employee says, no, you didn't pay me. So then the Sachar is Nishba Benoitel. What's the reason why? Since the Balabais has 50 workers, so he thought he paid all 50, he only paid 49. That's why we take the Shvu away from the Balabais, so we put it on the Sachar. Over here, however, we're not talking about multiple tenants, we're just talking about this one fellow. If the Soicher says he paid, Bismanoi, we believe him. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isaac, and that should be continued.